All right, well, when life stretches you thin, is there anything left to give? You know, the good news is that, yes, our faith in Christ allows us to produce resilience. Faith produces resilience, and resilience is that ability to bounce back. So when life stretches us thin, we have this hope of being able to bounce back, even when we're stretched thin in our health. So we've been talking about looking into God's Word and how to build resilience into our lives. And so the question really is for us today, how about you? Are you stretched? Are you pulled a little bit thinner these days? Do you feel like you are maybe being pulled in areas that are difficult to bounce back? Well, I think in the arena that we're going to talk about today, we'll find that we actually are thinner than most of us would like to admit. But we also find this amazing gift that we have that's actually more resilient than we might even imagine. And that gift is our bodies. So this week we're looking at building resilience in, or last week we looked at building resilience in lasting relationships. And so if you missed out on that, you'd like to hear more, you can go to our website and plug in. It's up now. And this week we're going to explore resilience for healthy living. So part of healthy living means being active. And so Cole and Tanya have given us a video. You can go ahead and start that out. For being active, we're going to call this pew aerobics.
We're going to show you aerobics. Some quick, easy stretches that you can do anywhere.
So we get to do these together.
Our first stretch we're going to show you is going to be a neck and a chest stretch. So what you're going to do is you're going to put your hands behind your head.
So go ahead and put your hands behind your head.
Thumbs pointing down, your feet flat on the floor, sitting up straight. You're going to rest your head back in your hands, and you're going to twist your upper.
All right, way to go.
Not your whole body, just your upper. You can do that about three times.
Twist back. It's okay. You can do this.
Okay. Next one we're going to do is an arm and a shoulder stretch. So you can bring your arm across. Really stretch that out. Sit up
stretch
straight.
Stretch your arm one
your
way.
Shoulders and stretch that out. Now the
go
other side.
Go back the other way. If you're not sure what you're doing, then just follow Cole.
Do that a couple times and really get that pull in there. The next one we're going to show you is to stretch your chest out again. So you can reach your arms behind you and clasp your hands. And then extend your chest out, and then relax. Roll your shoulders back and extend it out again.
Sounds the button buster.
And one more time. The next one we're going to show you is cat-cow. Cole, you want to show them how to do cat-cow? Go cat.
So just stretch cow. Down, stretch back.
Cat. Cow. You can do that one a couple times too. And then the last one we're going to show you is a gentle twist. So what you're going to do is you're going to keep your feet planted and you're just going to twist back.
Twist around.
And then the other side.
Twist back.
You can do a couple of those. They're good stretches. And then those are five easy stretches that you can do anywhere, anytime.
All right. Thank you, Cole and Tanya. Now, I have to say, if you are breathing heavily after all that, you really need to listen today. You know, it's interesting that we don't spend a lot of time on the topic that we're teaching today, but Scripture points out that caring for our bodies has an impact on us, even as followers of Jesus, who make followers of Jesus. So the psalmist speaks about the amazing creations that our bodies are. And so it says, you are created in my inmost being. God created us. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, our minds, our emotions, our character, our personalities. We even have this ability and desire to seek God, and God created that in us as well. But this is all housed in our physical bodies, in our very being. And so, just as our spiritual lives need nourishing, so do our physical bodies need nourishing. Now, that's maybe not news to us, but we understand that our bodies are an important part of who we are as God's creatures. And so, God made these bodies with this amazing ability to bounce back, to be resilient. And if we think about it, what happens when you cut your finger? A couple days later, what's happening? It's healing. That's right. Or you break a bone. A few weeks later, it's starting to heal. All right. You know, we get ravaged by colds and flus, and we think about the invasion of millions of viruses in our body, duplicating and wreaking havoc. But God created us with this amazing, this brilliant immune system that fights back. And in a week or so, we're starting to be better again, right? We're starting to feel well. And so we really are made fearfully and wonderfully by God. We have these incredibly resilient bodies. Last week, my coffee grinder started making kinds of strange noises. It sounded like the bearings were going to blow right out of the bottom of it. And so I ordered a new one, a better one. And when it came, I took the old one and tossed it into the garbage can and said goodbye to it as the garbage truck drove away. And so I found out, though, that this new one had a defect, and it was actually worse than the one I had thrown away. And so I borrowed someone else's, and I went to Amazon Prime, and I ordered a new one. And, you know, in 2 days, a new and improved version is going to arrive, and awesome, isn't it? Beautiful. That works for coffee grinders, but it doesn't work for our bodies, does it? We're stuck with the bodies that we have. We can't trade these in. We have to keep the one that we already have. And so, therefore, we have to take care of them. We have to care for these bodies. And they're designed by God to be cared for in a certain way. And our ability to bounce back, to have this resiliency, depends on how we care for our physical bodies. So hear what I'm about to say, please. I want to be sensitive to anyone who has experienced an illness or accident that has already reduced your body's ability to bounce back. Okay? I understand that I'm not trying to issue or assign blame to anyone here. Too often it seems like disease and illness is random and people suffer unfairly. We all probably know someone. I really don't have all the answers today. But what we're talking about, I think, can actually apply to each one of our lives, whether we're currently healthy or struggling to bounce back. You know, if you're whatever age you are, this applies. Whatever regimen of life you lead, this applies. In fact, the more serious we are about applying our lives to following Jesus, I think the more that this actually makes sense. So you and I don't want to miss out on anything that God has for us, including giving our bodies the best chance for resilient health. So if you're filling in the blanks today on your sermon notes, this is the first one. God calls us to treat our bodies with respect. And so the church planter Paul in the first century, he writes this: "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." So Scripture commands us to honor God with our bodies. You know, the context of this verse is actually about dishonoring God with our bodies and things that people were doing in the first century church that they ought not to do. And Paul says, stay away from those things. But he does say, God lives in us through the Holy Spirit. These bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. You know, we're saying, you know, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Welcome actually right here in our bodies where God lives by the Spirit. And through his death and resurrection, we have this new life that we live in these bodies. And so our bodies actually belong to God. They are bought with the price, the precious blood of Jesus. And so our bodies are meant for worshiping God and doing God's purposes. So ought we not to honor God with our bodies? The answer, yes, of course we ought to. And so the devotional, the Daniel plan, God's prescription for your health, the author, he lists four ways to treat your body. He says we can reject it, we can neglect it, we can perfect it, or we can protect it. Now, we can't reject it, because this is the only body we have. We can't trade it in for Amazon and get a new one 2 weeks later, or 2 days later. Wow, Prime. And so, we have these bodies. We can't neglect them, because we kind of find out that if we neglect our bodies, they cease to have the resiliency and the bounce back that we need. And perfecting our bodies, well, that can actually lead to another spectrum, which is called idolatry. In other words, that we begin to pay so much attention to our bodies that it's like we begin to worship our bodies. And that's not good, because we are to worship God alone. So that leaves one other, and that is to protect our bodies. So how do we do that? How do we protect our bodies? Well, one word, it's called discipline. So if you're filling in the blanks again, that word discipline. You know, it's not a real popular word today, but you know, it's actually who we are as followers of Jesus. The word discipline comes out of a Latin word that gives us disciple. And from disciple, we get the phrase follower of Jesus. And so as followers, we're to be like athletes in training. Some of you are in sports, and you know what that's like. If you've been in sports, you know, training is difficult, it's hard, but it allows us to have the best condition our bodies have. So we discipline our bodies for God's purpose. You know, Paul describes it in his letter. He says, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. In other words, disciplining our bodies like an athlete is training it to do what it should. Again, the apostle, he writes, no one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church, and we are members of that body. So he's talking about, you know, the higher purpose of Christ and the church and how he cares for us as the body of Christ. But he also says, you know, the fact that no one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it. And so that's what we are expected to do as disciplined caregivers of the bodies that God has given us. So we've got this, right? We are to honor God with our bodies as gifts from God. We're disciplined in the care that we give our bodies because this is what's required to protect them. So why do we do it? Why do we do all this? Why do we go through all this discipline? Well, ultimately to honor God. And that is what the Daniel passage that Miranda read is all about, honoring God. If we jump back to this passage, we read that the king here assigned daily amounts of food and wine for the king's table for all the people that were being trained. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. So what's going on here? Well, Daniel's a Jew. He's been taken away to Babylon, to a new land where they worship a different God, where they have different foods and different customs. But Daniel is still committed to following God according to his tradition, the Jewish tradition. And that means following the dietary commands that Moses had given. So this official fears that if Daniel doesn't eat from the royal table and only eats vegetables and water, then he's going to get sick and unhealthy, right? But they agree to a test, and Daniel does it God's way. He has only vegetables and water. So he honors God with his body. And what's the outcome? Do you remember hearing that? Daniel's actually healthier and better condition than everyone else. And so why did he do it? To honor God. But what was the outcome? Well, it was a healthy body. To serve God. So you and I believe that God can do amazing things at any moment to change our lives. And we don't want to miss out. So building resiliency into our lives through healthy living gives us the best opportunity to be available for the opportunities that God gives us and to honor him with our bodies. So we're going to jump into the rest of this as a kind of a practical application of this idea. So most of these aren't going to be new to you. It's actually things we probably already understand. It's just a matter of putting them into practice. So how do we care for our bodies in a way that honors God? Well, the first one is to protect our body with the right food. So most of us have heard the word diet, right? And when we see it, we think, ugh, that's terrible. We think, that's what we're going to eat, that much. It looks like starvation, right? Nobody likes a diet. But you know, a diet is actually whatever you eat. You know, it could be a healthy diet or it could be an unhealthy diet. Whatever we eat is our diet. And so some things promote good health and some things don't. For Daniel, what was it that promoted his good health? Vegetables, that's right. Only vegetables. Now, understand that in Scripture, this isn't a prescription for us. This isn't what we have to do. But for him, it was all he could eat because there wasn't any undefiled meat in Babylon because it had to be taken care of a certain way. And so for Daniel, he couldn't eat the meat. So only vegetables were on the menu. So it's interesting today that one of the key food groups for us today is what? Vegetables, yeah. Wow, amazing, right? And so God has given us all kinds of plants and fruits that we can eat for good health. So not all that much has changed. Now, before we move on, I want to say, I like meat. I love hamburgers. I love to eat hamburgers. In fact, last night I had a big, juicy, very tasty hamburgers, and guess what? It was good. Oh, it was so good. It was great. And so a little meat is all right. In the Bible, people eat meat, right? So it's fine. But when we're looking at eating and drinking in the Bible actually says more about what not to do than what to do. As we look at Proverbs, it says, "Do not join those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat, for drunkards and gluttons become poor and drowsiness clothes them in rags." So caring for our bodies means staying away from drunkenness, right? We kind of understand that. We know the physical effects of alcohol on our bodies, and so we don't want to do too much of that. But we kind of agree. But, you know, the Bible also says that gluttony is also bad for our bodies. Gluttony is simply eating too much and eating too much of the wrong things. And we kind of don't pay as much attention to that part of the Bible. But for our bodies, for our resilience, we want to pay attention. So we're growing into mature people. Now, I don't mean by that plump. I mean like mature followers of Jesus. So we want to speak the truth, and we do speak the truth. And so we know that there's health consequences associated with not eating right and illnesses along with that. So we want to honor God with our bodies and protect our bodies with the right food. And then we get the best chance for an outcome like Daniel, which is a healthy body. So who likes broccoli? Raise your hand. Wow, that's a lot of broccoli likers. All right, so, you know, if you like broccoli, eat it. So how many of you don't like broccoli? The real truth here, there's a few, okay, a few more. So how many of you are silent, not liking broccoli people? All right, so if you don't like broccoli, I did a Google search to try to find out how many vegetables, how many plants that we can actually eat. And there's something like 20,000 edible plants in the world. Now, I don't know how many of those are vegetables. It was hard for me to kind of figure that out, but it looked like somewhere around 2,000. So the point is, if you don't like broccoli, hey, you have 1,999 other choices. So find a food that you like that's healthy and eat it. So we want to be honoring God and protecting our body. And so we have to start somewhere. And so we start with moderation. Moderation and balance. 1 Timothy says, "For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected that is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer." So, you know, it's like in the New Testament, you know, we can eat kind of anything, but not everything is beneficial. And so we want to seek out and find those things that are healthy. You know, I stopped eating sugar, and I was going to tell you that I lost 8 pounds, but I stepped on the scale and it's only 6. So, in full disclosure, I've lost 6 pounds just by changing a little bit of my diet. Now, I'm not going to tell you that that's been a really long time, but you know, it's a healthier lifestyle for me, and it works for me. I've just found some things that I switch out, you know, like I eat more yogurt, less ice cream, that kind of thing. So the point is finding things that work for you, finding things that you like, that are healthy for your body and beginning. So we protect our body with what we eat, and we protect our body with exercise. We got a little this morning. Did you feel that workout? Whew. Did you know that every amount that we move is exercise? And so you actually got exercise this morning. You can go home today and say, "Hey, I exercised in church." Timothy says, "Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and the life to come." So Paul's making the big point. Godliness training is the most important. But he also says physical exercise is good. We know that, right? And so we realize that doing that is anything that makes our body move, makes it burning calories. So get this. Husbands, vacuuming is exercise. Woohoo! And shoveling snow is exercise. So we can sing, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Can't wait, right? Getting our exercise. How many of you like exercise? One, two, three. Okay, a few. How many of you don't like exercise? Be honest. All right. I'll be honest with you. I hate exercise. This is an area that I don't really do well in at all. So I have to really kind of push myself and find those things that will get me active and get me moving. You know, my favorite thing to do is actually hike in the mountains. But in Wheaton, there are no what? Mountains. Now, somebody told me that there were some pretty good hills in Sisseton, so now I probably don't have an excuse. But, you know, so that's out of the question. So some of you maybe have in your homes a treadmill that looks like this. You know, I say you might as well use it for something good, right? And so we have one of those ellipticals that you walk on. And when I get on that elliptical, I find out that I have to turn up the volume on the TV because when I'm walking, I'm breathing so hard I can't even hear the television. And so I'm reminded that, hey, maybe I need to step up my physical activity. And so any movement, even a little, is better than none. The book of Hebrews says that when we strip off the weights that slow us down, we can run God's race with so much more vitality. And so when we began to do that physical exercise, we're stripping off those weights of a sedentary life and the health consequences that go with that. So I'm not a trainer. I don't really know, you know, a lot about physical exercise. Some of you could speak much better into this idea. But I've read some guidelines by the Heart Association and the Cancer Society about the amounts that are beneficial. My doctor tells me what I need to do. So it simply comes down to the point of doing it. I need to be more conscious of honoring God in my physical activity. And here's the thing. Maybe you can help. Maybe you can encourage me. And maybe I can encourage you. Because believe it or not, we're in this together. So God's word reminds us, even when we're wiped out and we just don't feel like it, that He, God, gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. So figure out what movement you enjoy, what you can do, and rely on God's strength to get you going. So the best outcome for a resilient body is kind of this good eating, this physical activity. But we also want to keep in the right perspective. You know, our hope is not in good health. I want to say that again. Our hope is not in good health. Good health is a blessing. Good health is a benefit. I think it's well to work towards that. But our hope is in the living God, the Savior of all people, especially those who believe. So our hope is in God. You know, I visited with Jim Sagasore this week. I had visited with him a few years back, and he gave me permission to share his story from May 3rd in 2011. So Jim, many of you know him as Sag, was riding his motorcycle, going around a curve when he hit some loose gravel, and lost control. The bike slid out from under him, resulting in a bad accident. And so what ensued, the doctor said, was a miracle. Prior to the accident, Sag said he was in the best shape of his life. He was running 27 miles a week. He was even doing some short 10Ks and things like that. He was eating the most healthy diet he ate in his life to maintain that physical activity. And through his vigorous lifestyle, he had built up an endurance and stamina that proved crucial to his future, even though he didn't know at the time what his future would hold. In the accident, Sag suffered a C2 spinal fracture, and it leaves 95% of its victims dead. 4% it leaves paralyzed. And 1%, well, that's Sag's story. He shared with me that he'd always believed in Christ, but what he experienced following the accident was a life and faith-altering journey. When the bike stopped skidding, he lay on the ground and he felt complete peace surrounding him. He felt no pain, and he sensed an image moving towards him. He can't explain who he saw or why, but in that peace, he immediately sensed a visitation from the Lord. Then someone spoke, and he awoke as the trauma crew arrived on the scene. And the fact that he even survived the crash, and not to mention the critical care that he received by the trauma team, proved miraculous, according to his doctor. Arriving in the hospital, Seg sensed that he wasn't alone. He said besides his wife Monica and his daughter Jana that night, he saw another person sitting with them. And he asked Monica who that was, but he only saw. Seg told me again that he knew the Lord was present with him in the hospital room that night. He could somehow see God's presence, and he could feel God's peace watching over them. You may wonder why I'm telling you this story today. Well, because ever since I sat down with him a few years ago, I felt that this was a story to tell. I feel it's a story of the incredible account of divinely empowered resilience. So, question being, did Seg bounce back? Well, not immediately. Like so many who have experienced trauma or accidents or difficulty, you know, the healing is not like a sprint. It's more like a slow crawl towards recovery. For Seg, it was 3 operations, 18 months of physical therapy. And so today, Seg can hunt, he can work, he can take Copper, their dog, out for a walk. He doesn't run anymore because he can't. He doesn't train and exercise like he once did because his body won't allow it. But he did tell me life is different and better in other ways. Seg said that he takes care of his body by eating well because he values that part of building resilience. He's reminded that it matters. The doctor told him that if he hadn't been in such excellent shape, he would never have survived. He described a different part of his lifestyle that's changed too. He said, "I've been humbled." Jim says, when I asked him, you know, what he meant, he had a quick response. He said, "I went from an I person to a Monica, his wife, can I person." That kind of says a lot. Seg did say there was one exception, that when he bought a puppy and brought it home, Monica simply asked him if he had named it yet. He said he had not, so she said, "Well, his name is Divorce." But he's now a beloved part of the family, so it's okay. Seg told me that this life-changing accident has actually brought him closer to his family, to his wife. In other words, he said, "Because I'm not an I person, I'm a family person. I guess I forgot that. I forgot what was important, and I was reminded." I asked Seg again this week what changed in him, and he told me that prior to the crash, he was a jerk. He said, "Just ask anyone that worked for me. They'd tell you." But he said, "After the accident, I stopped doing that. Things were different. It's not all about him anymore, and it seems evident to me." So I want to just take a moment to touch on one final piece of protecting our body. And that one is a little bit elusive for some of us. That is sleep. Sleep. I was once told by a seminary professor that sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap. What he meant is, if you're just exhausted and wiped out, there's not any, you can't connect with God, you can't connect with others, you just need to sleep, get renewed, get refreshed. You know, Jesus understood this. He gathered his disciples, and there were so many people around that they didn't have a chance to eat, and he said, "Come with me by yourself to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves to a solitary place. You know, in another episode, Jesus was with his disciples in a boat. A terrible storm came up, and where was Jesus? He was sleeping in the bow of the boat. Jesus knew that his body required sleep. You know, if anybody was busy, it was Jesus, right? He had the weight of the world upon him, but he knew that he needed to take time to let his body rejuvenate. You know, it's part of that regular rhythm of protecting our bodies. It's a gift from God to be received. It's called sleep. The psalmist says, in vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. You know, the National Sleep Foundation, he talks about the benefits of the sleep, and some of these are kind of amazing. You know, our brains actually don't shut down when we sleep. They actually continue to work, and they begin to catalog our memories so that we can put together all the things that we've gathered in the day. You know, it helps us to remember. So, you know, if we're having memory problems and it's not diagnosed as some kind of condition, you may just need sleep. If we're struggling with, you know, feeling like we're not bouncing back in our health, it may be that we just simply need more sleep. Our bodies rejuvenate and heal while we sleep. And so God made it for us to sleep. And so Jesus understood this, but Paul, the apostle, he forgot it. In fact, he was preaching long into the night, and seated in the window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on, it says. So this is one of those really long sermons, kind of like today, a really long one. And so when he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. So the moral of the story, no. You know, the good news is at the end of this story that Paul went down, prayed for him, and he came back to life. So that was good. But it reminds us that our bodies need sleep. Even when it's as important as listening to the great apostle Paul, we can only take so much. At some point, we need to sleep. 1 Corinthians reminds us, you are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. So has SAG bounced back to healthy living? Well, as much as it depends on him, it seems like he has, but it's not been easy. He suffered severe back pain and leg pain, which he required constant medications for, as well as the onset of migraine headaches. So to me, that really doesn't sound like bouncing back. But sometimes the journey to recovery is this winding road and rather than a straight one. Scripture reminds us that we are like the grass of the field, here today and gone tomorrow. So our ultimate hope and experience is new bodies in the resurrection. That's when all our aches and pains will be delivered. But in this life, we still have the opportunity for bouncing back. The Lord can still bring healing. This past August, Seg bounced back again. He was able to receive an operation called an SCS implant to his spine. In a test run procedure, it was successful, so they finished the operation. And since August 16th, he's had no pain, and he declared that he is opioid-free. Now that is a huge bounce back. So he's quick to give credit to the Lord, and I believe the source of his healing is God's grace, whether it is in this life or in the life to come. But as much as it depends on us, we can play a role in sustaining the resiliency that God has given us in our bodies. So God made your body to be resilient. He made you to bounce back. So God gave you a body to treat with respect because it's holy. God loves it. God loves you. And so we are to protect and care for it. So at the bottom of your sermon notes today, it says, what do you plan to do with your body today? How will you care for your body so that it will last long into the future? How will you exercise your body today? And what we did counts, but we could do more. How much sleep will you get tonight? How will you encourage caring for yourself? What will you eat today? And I encourage you to share that with someone else, that you might have that encouragement. The scripture says, encourage one another daily as long as it's called today. So we realize that even when it comes to our health, we're in it together. So let's pray for one another. Father, we come in all sizes and packages and all kinds of ages and conditions. And Lord, yet we know that you have made us amazing bodies. And we are thankful, grateful for them. And Lord, we know that there are things we can do to care for our bodies, no matter what condition they're in. Things we can even start to do today. And Lord, help us to just have this desire, being filled with your spirit, to honor you with our bodies, with how we care for our bodies, and with what we do with them. Lord, so that you are glorified. And Lord, as we do, help us encourage one another and strengthen one another. You walked around the earth healing and giving us a foretaste of what it'll be like. But today, Lord, help us to live into the wholeness you give us. In Jesus' name, amen.